Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Happy Friday to you. Glad to have you with us here on the Hoosier Report. We do this each day, each weekday, that is, at 11 a.m. here on the Big X Sports Radio. A number of ways to listen to us, 1450 a.m. or 96.1 FM, if you're in Southern Indiana, if you're in the Louisville area. Of course, streaming online to anybody, BigXSportsRadio.com. We're in the TuneIn app as well. And if you miss us live or you can't listen because of work or whatever reason, we have a podcast. It's available, the show. The full show is available each day as a podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. You can just search the Hoosier Report on both of those podcast opportunities. So welcome in today. I hope you're preparing for a great weekend. It's thunder over Louisville here in the area. Let's hope that the weather is good for everybody. I know lots of setup along the riverfront in Jeffersonville into Clarksville, and of course on the Louisville side of things as well, but always a fun time. I do miss getting ready for the Derby, which is fun for the area. I do miss the Derby game. That was always a basketball tie-in about this time of year, with a lot of times IU recruits and signees coming to town for that. Of course, it's kind of been defunct now for a couple seasons, which is disappointing, but plenty of basketball, plenty of stuff to get to and talk about today on the program, and glad to have you with us. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, our Hoosier headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. I'm going to cover a number of different topics in the headlines, a lot of recruiting stuff. If you're wondering why there's recruiting stuff more so now to talk about, yeah, it's the off season. That's one reason. But number two is that currently it's a live period for coaches in the sense that they can get out and actually leave campus and do some recruiting, some visits, in-home visits. They can go to high schools and watch players in open gyms and workouts, things of those nature. So you've got some coaches, including the IU staff, that's been busy. We'll tell you where they've been at. We'll update a number of IU prospects across a couple different classes in our first segment today. Also, we'll talk about a new name that somewhat is on Indiana's radar to pay attention to it locally here, at least, coming up in this first segment as well. Spring game is tonight. That will be fun, so we'll mention that. High school baseball results from last night, some interesting games and some big wins for some of our local teams. And we'll talk about Steve Alford. We mentioned yesterday it was likely contract negotiations. It had been reported by a lot of people at Nevada was going on, and that's confirmed now. The surprise of the deal is the length of the contract that he gets to return as a Division I basketball coach after missing really about half of the season, being fired at UCLA right around the new year, the start of 2019. That's what we'll do in segment one, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Segment two, we'll have Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing, now open in Sellersburg. Jared is with us every Friday. Lots of IU basketball stuff with him. We'll go through the roster. We'll go through some off-season movement. We'll go through some other activities with the program when he joins us. And then later in the show, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star is with me. We'll talk a number of things with Kyle as well. We'll touch more on some of the recruits, specifically the in-state recruits that I'm going to mention here in the first segment. We'll get some details on those situations, on those players with Kyle when he's with us a little bit later in the program. That's the guest lineup, the service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, stop by for lunch and just mention the Hoosier Report. You'll get a dollar off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll start with the recruiting stuff today, and there's a lot of it to cover. Lester Quinones, He played this past season at IMG Academy in Florida. He scheduled an official visit. It was for this weekend in Bloomington. He's one of the top shooters still remaining available in the 2019 class of seniors that are getting ready to graduate, but he had to cancel that visit, he said, for a family issue, for a family reason. But for those that thought, well, maybe he's lost interest in Indiana or he's leaning other places, I don't think that that's quite the case, at least yet, because he's rescheduled his visit. He tweeted out yesterday he will be in Bloomington for a full 48-hour official visit, which is the maximum that those visits can be, April 24th, 25th, and 26th. So he'll start on the 24th. He'll conclude sometime, I'm sure, in the afternoon, the evening of the 26th, and will be in Bloomington for 2 days. He's ranked number 65 nationally in the senior class. He's 6'5", and again, he's really been thought of as one of the best three-point shooters that's available and really overall in the 2019 class of current seniors as well. So I think it was Harlan Beverly for a while as far as 2019 guys go that Indiana could add with one of its three available scholarships. But with Quiñones set to make a visit and with some buzz recently, I think maybe you've got to put him as far as remaining players out there in the 2019 class. He might be the name right now that Indiana seems to have the most momentum with, official visit scheduled. And I think Beverly maybe is discussing his visit plans and perhaps will take one to Indiana. But Quiñones, a name to follow, a name to think about for sure here over the next few weeks. It'll be interesting to see what happens after his visit, when he makes a decision. Obviously, it's getting pretty late for players in the senior class to make decisions. You would think that that would come somewhat after his visit to Indiana. He's had official visits to Memphis. He did that back in mid-March. He also has been to Maryland. That's been a number of months ago, though, LSU, back before his high school season, which you got to think LSU. I saw Will Wade is meeting with the school and maybe even some NCAA personnel today or very soon. You got to wonder what's going to happen there with what's come out with Coach Wade and the scandal stuff going on with the FBI investigation into college basketball recruiting. So who knows if they're still a legitimate player for Quiñones. And he's scheduled to make a visit. I guess he'll go from Indiana directly to Michigan for an April 29th and 30th official visit at Michigan as well. So it looks like it could come down to some Big Ten schools. At least Indiana and Michigan, as of now, are going to have the last opportunities to sell their respective programs to Lester Quiñones. And another interesting thing, I'm going to talk about this guy in a minute. This is not IU, but Quiñones, who played at IMG, Archie Miller and I forget which assistant, they were there to watch him at least once during the season. And one of the times that they were there for the game, Quiñones's IMG team played against Combine Academy out of North Carolina, another prep school, which is where Sean East of New Albany played a fifth year of prep basketball. And he, I understand, is getting closer and closer to a college decision. He's got some solid D1 interest from the mid-major level, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that coming up as well. Also, Joey Brunk, a big name as far as graduate transfers go, 6'11", played at Butler, played at Southport in high school. Indiana and Ohio State both were supposed to visit at Brunk's home with him yesterday. Of course, Chris Holtman was at Butler, and there's some connections there because Brunk is coming from Butler, and he's an in-state guy. Archie Miller obviously reaching out. It makes a lot of sense that he wants to stay close. Indiana's very close. Ohio State is fairly close from his home in Indianapolis, so we'll see what happens with him. But Indiana definitely keeping the heat up with Brunk as far as graduate transfers go. There's a number of them out there. I think we're almost to 600. I shouldn't just say graduate transfers, but 600 transfers across the board in the portal from Division I basketball. We're approaching 600. That's unbelievable, and a number that has grown and grown and grown every year, and a path that we're seeing more and more players take is that graduate transfer path. In fact, Louisville, who's had great success with graduate transfers in recent seasons under both Coach Pitino and now Coach Mack, they just got another key, it looks like, at least on paper, another key graduate transfer player to their roster for next season as well. So we'll see what happens with Joey Brunk. Don't forget, there's going to be a lot of recruiting stuff as well this weekend and into Monday news, I mean, because the dead period where coaches can get out and visit prospects and talk to prospects in person. It runs through Sunday evening as well. Speaking of coaches being out, Archie Miller taking advantage of the opportunity to leave the Bloomington campus and visit some guys. Yesterday he was down in Evansville to visit current sophomore, junior-to-be, Evansville rights guard Christian Lander, who the Hoosiers are tracking along with a number of other Division I programs in the area. And another player of interest, there's a player from Ben Davis who opened his recruiting with a coaching change with Ron Hunter at Georgia State. His name is Jalen Windham. He's got schools like Creighton and Illinois State, mid-major programs that are coming in to see him. And Kyle Dedenrip, who we'll talk to later in the program, he said yesterday or tweeted yesterday that Indiana is scheduled to watch Jalen Windham work out on April 22nd. So I don't believe Indiana's offered a scholarship to Windham yet. It's a possibility. He's a case of a player that got better and better even into his senior year. And probably if he had went on to Georgia State with Ron Hunter, probably would have went on to be a great steal for Coach Hunter, who's been known to make the most out of players from Indianapolis where his roots are at Georgia State. But with the coaching change, Coach Hunter goes to Tulane. Windham reopens his recruiting because of the progress in his game and his development. Even into his senior year, Indiana's going to at least take a look. Some bigger schools, in addition to Indiana, I'm sure, will at least take a look. Whether they will offer, whether that will actually work out, who knows. But that's what can happen with a player that all of a sudden they become available once they were signed and committed elsewhere. So interesting there. Another player to follow, Indiana connections, Ben Davis guy, played in the state championship game, lost to Carmel in the 4A state title. Yesterday, Alex Bozich joined me. We talked a lot about the NBA draft and Romeo Langford and his hand injury and what the next couple months could look like between now and June. Does Romeo participate in a lot of the draft workouts and the combine in Chicago? Is he able to participate because of his hand? Is it best for him to participate or not participate coming off of an injury and coming off of surgery at the end of IU season? We also talked about all these mock drafts that are out there and who's really legit, who's really talking to the NBA personnel, who really knows what's going on with some of the people that are decision makers in this draft. And one of those guys, I think the guy that both I mentioned and that Alex recommended that you follow for Romeo and the whole draft is Jonathan Givony of Draft Express on ESPN. You got to have that ESPN Plus membership to read a lot of his work. But he put out a new mock draft yesterday right after we went off the air, right after Alex was with us on our show yesterday. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to the podcast. But Jonathan Givony, an updated mock draft, he has Romeo Langford going to Miami at the number 13 pick in his most recent mock draft. And again, he will continue to update that. And where it really starts to get good, this is my opinion, where the mock drafts from a guy like him that knows his stuff and knows people involved in the processes, it'll really get good when the workouts start and the combine happens and he's there on a day-to-day basis with NBA personnel. It gets a really good read. Not exactly what could happen. There can always be changes. Teams change their mind. Trades happen. Crazy things happen before the draft, leading up to the draft, even on draft night. But he'll have a really good read, I think, on Romeo and really the entire draft. So right now he has him at number 13, Jonathan Givony has Romeo at number 13 in his most recent mock draft. Don't forget, spring game tonight, if you can make it, at 7 o'clock start. Tailgating starts very early in the day this afternoon in Bloomington if you want to go up and make a day of it. But, of course, it's also on Big Ten Network tonight as well. So it'll be interesting to get an early look at IU football for the upcoming season. Of course, the quarterback race is of interest. There's a number of new faces. There's a number of things to pay attention to as you start to fill out this Indiana roster and maybe where they could fall in the Big Ten Conference and what type of success they could have or maybe not have for this upcoming 2019 college football season. High school baseball last night is our next headline. Jeffersonville won a thriller, a game-tying double by Marquez Jordan, and the win for pitcher Gavin Siebold. Jeff wins 8-7 over Hoosier Hills Conference opponent Seymour last night. So a big win for the Red Devils, who improved to 5-2 on the season. Also last night, the IU future player in the baseball side of things, Holden Grower of Silver Creek, he helped the Dragons to their 7th consecutive win It was a 7-2 victory at Austin in a Mid-Southern Conference game last night as well. So he's an IU guy. Also, he had a home run, I should mention, in that game as well. So an IU guy playing locally for Silver Creek, who, again, will be, I think, one of the top baseball teams, high school teams in the area when it's all said and done. Final note, final headline today, Steve Alford has agreed to a deal with Nevada as we expected, as it was mentioned now for the last couple of days. So no real surprise, and really the only reason I mention it today is that Nevada has given Steve Alford an unprecedented, at least for Nevada, but really I think unprecedented in many ways for college basketball, a 10-year contract. A 10-year contract. That is absolutely amazing after he of course, was fired from UCLA back at the start of this season around the time of the new year. But former IU player, former Newcastle standout, guy from the Hoosier State, Father Sam, obviously very, very involved still in the high school basketball community, Coaches Association, the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. I think you can say this with surety that you will hear a lot of players from Indiana suddenly being contacted by Coach Alford, by his staff at Nevada as they get things put into place. And he will definitely, I'd say, just a matter of time until he has some Indiana interest on his roster at his new job. Those are the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Jared Morris of Assembly Call is with me. The segment with Jared each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Don't forget, Coffee Crossing has a new location that is now open in Sellersburg. It's right by Ivy Tech and I-65, conveniently located there for those of you that might be listening in the Sellersburg area. Nice store. Alan Butts, another location that he adds to his repertoire of things for Coffee Crossing as they continue just to be a great success here in the area. We'll head to a break. We're back to talk IU basketball with Jared Morris on this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is with me on Fridays. We talk lots and lots of IU basketball year-round, and our segment with Jared is presented by the great people at Coffee Crossing. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy Coffee Crossing's warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, delicious pastries as well from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use their convenient drive-thru. And, of course, the new location opened last month, Coffee Crossing Sellersburg, right by Ivy Tech and the I-65 interchange in Sellersburg. Jared, great to have you with us. It's an opportunity starting Thursday through Sunday for coaches to go out and visit with prospects, to have a little bit more contact than what they can normally have on a regular basis. And we've seen Archie Miller, the staff, get to Evansville to see Christian Lander. There's lots of news about an upcoming official visit with Lester Canones, and just generally recruiting kind of taking back over the forefront now that we're in off-season mode officially.
Yeah, it is that time of year, and, you know, nice to see that the coaching staff isn't just sitting idly by, you know, lamenting the missed NCAA tournaments the last couple of years. They're out there as you would expect them to be, being active and looking to improve this roster for next year and beyond. And I think it's a really important next few weeks for Indiana because, you know, I think, as we've discussed, you know, even though you lose Romeo and Juwan, there are some reasons to have some optimism for next season, and it's going to be interesting to see how Rob Finnessy develops and see what Devontae and Duran can do as seniors and, you know, what a guy like Jerome Hunter could do. And I think we're all intrigued by, you know, what that team could do with a little bit more balance maybe than what you had this year. But there's also some significant holes. You know, Indiana needs some depth down low. They need more wing scoring. They need another ball handler. And so this is a really interesting time for the staff to try and go out and both fill the needs for this team next year because, you know, look, you missed three NCAA tournaments in a row. You know, there's pressure to get back to it while also balancing keeping an eye on the future, you know, so that once you do get back to the NCAA tournament and start being successful again, you can sustain it. And I think the kinds of guys that they can get over these next few weeks are going to be really important, you know, not just for next year, but the next few years.
I think with everything going on, graduate transfers, a recruiting period right now, 2019 guys like Quiñones getting ready to make a visit here soon. There could be some other, I think, visits or interaction with 2019 seniors right now. Of course, you got the AAU stuff firing back up for underclassmen, but we're definitely in a period right now with all this going on concurrently where there could be some real movement or announcements or decisions or additions to the roster for next season. I think 2 weeks from now and moving forward, maybe over the next month, you could see some action for sure.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, obviously Indiana's been active with Joey Brunk, and that, by all accounts, has gone well. And so you would expect a decision, you know, there before too long, and I think that's a really important one for Indiana. Obviously, the Hoosiers are involved with a number of high-profile prospects still available in the class of 2019. You mentioned Quiñones, Harlan Beverly, Trendon Watford, obviously, and it doesn't seem like Indiana leads for any of those guys, but a commitment from any of them would be huge. You know, and then you've got some other guys, you know, some different grad transfers. Jalen Windham from Ben Davis, who, you know, it seems like Indiana is interested in and doing their due diligence on, you know, but maybe waiting on some of these other guys to find out their decisions. And then there's always the possibility of banking a scholarship for next year. So it's going to be a real active time. And like I said, I mean, the impact that it can have for next season and beyond is, you know, really important. And you see that throughout college basketball, where decisions that are made now from grad transfers and guys who sign late have huge impacts on, you know, what happens next year.
It is absolutely amazing to me. We're talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call presented by Coffee Crossing, but it's absolutely amazing to me the number of players, Division I players, that have entered the NCAA transfer portal this season, and it's amazing to me how transfers, specifically graduate transfers, have really impacted college basketball and how that has become really a whole nother angle, I guess you could say, of the recruiting process. And I mentioned in the first segment today talking about some of the recruits and people that were out there specifically that the University of Louisville, just across the river from us, picked up yesterday. Another, from what it looks like to me, I don't know that I ever saw the young man play, but it looks like another notable addition via the graduate transfer process for the roster next season. And even under Rick Pitino and now more recently under Chris Mack, they have had some success going the graduate transfer route. I'm not sure that Evan Fitzner worked out to the level that everyone hoped, but at times he did provide some shooting and maybe a lift for the team. Are you amazed as I am by the number of players that transfer and the number of players? It seems like each year we see that number grow that's in the portal. And how do you think that, or what are your thoughts on graduate transfers and maybe how it's affected college basketball and could go on to be a great effect, I think, on things for many seasons to come? People really beginning to take advantage of it.
You know, I'm amazed only in the sense of how different it is than, you know, recently as a few years ago, you know, and certainly different from, you know, how I grew up with college basketball. So in that sense, it's amazing. But, you know, when you kind of fit college basketball into larger societal trends, it's really not that amazing. I mean, you know, the general economy is more transient now, you know, where young people have, you know, the idea of just working for one company for 25, 30 years, that doesn't really happen as much anymore. People are on the move. People are, you know, and they have the ability to be and to look for a better situation for themselves and one that fits better. And so I think that's just a manifestation of that. And I think for the most part, I think it's good. And I think it makes sense, especially the grad transfers. You know, I think you can have a big discussion about whether too many guys after their first or second season, you know, decide to transfer instead of sticking it out. And would they get more by sticking it out rather than transfer? And I think it's such an individual thing with those. You know, like I think, you know, take Clifton Moore and Jake Forrester, for example, you know, you look at each of their individual cases, and as we talked about, you know, it made sense why they were transferred, because their path to playing time didn't seem very clear, and maybe the system that Indiana's playing doesn't fit them as well as another system would. And yet you could certainly make the counter-argument, you know, what if those guys, you know, stick it out? By the time they're a little bit more experienced, you know, they get more playing time. You know, who knows? We'll never know that. I think with grad transfers, it's a little bit more clear, because those guys, you know, have probably been at their school for at least 3 years, you know, like a guy like Joey Brunk, who redshirted, you know, played 2 years and then put himself in the position to be a grad transfer who can actually play 2 years. And, you know, I think at that point, you know, you've gotten a lot of experience at your current school, and you're looking for a different fit. And I think when you can find the right fit, it's a really good thing. Like, think about Max Bielfeldt, you know, whose skills were not being utilized at Michigan. He steps into a role at Indiana where he was absolutely necessary. I mean, the missing piece for that team. And Indiana doesn't win a Big Ten title without him. And he probably never blossoms without being at Indiana under a coach like Tom Crean, who really understood how to use his skill set and further develop it. And I think that was a case of it working out really well. Evan Fitzner didn't work out so well for Indiana. You know, that wasn't the right fit. But I think the grad transfer, to me, I think it's really benefited college basketball. And it can stink for, you know, for smaller schools who spend 3 years developing a guy and lose him. But it's also a great benefit to that guy who probably would have gone to a bigger school if he had been that good coming out of high school. And I think it makes sense to give him that opportunity to do that and play on a bigger stage. So I think overall it's a benefit. Now the key is, you know, for coaches like Archie Miller, you've got to really be able to use it to your advantage. And I think for next year and beyond, Indiana needs to, you know, find more Max Bielfelds and fewer Evan Fitzners in terms of their ability to come in and impact and be the right fit.
We're talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing each Friday here on the Hoosier Report. Back to the roster that Indiana has right now, with what we know for next season, and in the offseason, obviously we have plenty of time to break everything down and talk about each player and expectations and how things went this past season. But as you take a first glance at it and you start to think about, you've done a great job today talking about some of Indiana's needs for next season that might be filled by some of the recruits or potentially graduate transfers like Joey Brunk. But as you think about IU's roster with what they have for next season, who is a player, a returning player, whether it was somebody that got key minutes or started or did not get key minutes but was a bench member of the team that you're intrigued about, that you think maybe will increase their role, increase their production, and become even a more viable part, or maybe just step into a viable role with the team for next season?
Well, I think there's a number of guys that you could discuss there. You know, obviously, Rob Finnessy's development is really intriguing. Devontae Green, does he take the next step as a senior and become a leader and consistent scorer? You know, Race Thompson, with a full year, can he become an impact player? But I think the only answer for me to that question is Jerome Hunter. And I think a lot about next season, you know, in some ways hinges on Jerome Hunter being able to step in. And you don't want to put too much pressure on a guy who hasn't played a game of college basketball yet. But given what Indiana really needs, which is wing scoring and guys who can shoot from the outside, you know, those are his strengths. And so, you know, I think Indiana can have a good season without him providing a big lift. But I think, you know, the ceiling and what the expectations of what next year's team can do really rises if you know that you're going to get a full season of health and development from Jerome Hunter, because he'll struggle, you know, like all new guys do. But he's a guy that really projects, you know, if he can play next season, to be a real impact player come Big Ten play. And so just given the need that he would fill, the talent that he has, you know, the fact that, I mean, he won the gold jersey last year right before, you know, he had to miss the rest of the season. So, I mean, that shows you, you know, the kind of ability that he has. I just think he is such an important, you know, X factor for next year's team. And I just can't wait to see him play, because I think he's just got such a fun style to watch, and is such a, you know, a competitive guy and such a skilled guy that he's really going to have a big impact on next season one way or the other based on his availability.
We're talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We do it every Friday, lots of IU basketball. But for a moment, tonight is the spring game at IU, and it's also little 500 weekend as well. I'm sure that is something you miss from your college days, a great time if you're a college student specifically to be on the IU campus?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, that's that time of year, you know, where all former, you know, current IU students and former IU students, you know, swap their best little five stories. And it's just, it is a great time on campus. You know, there's so much camaraderie, so much fun. Obviously, you hope that everybody is doing it safely. But it's a great time. I mean, it's the greatest college weekend that there is. And so I wish everybody a safe and fun little five, and, you know, go out and experience it to the fullest, you know, because it's, once it's gone, you'll definitely wish that that you could do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a shame, that there aren't, at least that we're aware of, any recruiting visits this weekend. I know Lester Quinones initially, tweeted out that he would be on campus this weekend, and there was a family conflict or problem with the date why he had to move it until later in the month of April. But sometime, every school has, you know, special events or special things, traditions and things like that, that draw the student body out and draw alumni out and make it a great opportunity for a coach in any sport to showcase not just your sport and your facility, but the entire student population and what goes on and how fun the environment can be at the school. It's kind of a shame that visit didn't work out, because the more I read about that guy, Quinones, and the more you think about Indiana's needs, there seems to be some real traction there potentially, and this would have been a great weekend for reasons you mentioned to get him on campus.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, you would definitely be able to have a fun time if he came this weekend, but as we all know from Indiana, pretty much any weekend that you go to IU is going to, you know, you're going to be able to have some fun, even if they're all not like little five.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call. Final thing for you before we let you go. You and Alex, of course, is with us Thursdays, partner for a podcast called Podcast on the Brink that we talk about from time to time. It's available at InsideTheHall.com. And I've not listened to it yet, but you had, I understand from Alex, a great conversation this past week with former IU player Greg Graham, who I used to see and get to catch up with when he was still coaching in Indiana at Warren Central High School. He since has moved out of state. So, A, what is Greg Graham up to? And, B, give us a little preview of the interview with Greg in case somebody wants to check that out for some listening on this Friday.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that interview. It was great. I mean, he's, you know, that I grew up with those teams, you know, from 89 to 93. That was kind of my wheelhouse as a young IU fan. And so obviously, as so many of us who were following the team back then, you know, just grew to love Calbert and Greg and Alan Henderson and all those guys. And so it was a real thrill to be able to talk to him. And he of course, was coaching at Warren Central for a while, moved out to Rhode Island because of a job change for his wife's. And is now coaching out there. So he's still continuing to coach high school basketball. And I tell you, I think when you listen to the interview, you know, I think the things that will really jump off are the respect and the appreciation that he has for the time that he was coached by Bob Knight. I mean, you know, and we talked with him about the infamous, you know, the infamous video with Bob Knight ranting about, you know, if you're not going to recover Greg Graham, if you're just going to let him drive by you. And so we kind of talked to them about that. He was just very matter-of-fact about it. Like, yeah, you know, I mean, I didn't do what I needed to do defensively, and was quick to point out, you know, a couple of years later, I was named Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. You know, so it was about being able to take that coaching, you know, being ready. And there was just, I think the thing, you know, in talking with Greg and then in listening to interviews that, you know, that Calbert Chaney has done, the maturity of those guys and the maturity that they had as, you know, college players was just so impressive. And that's what I think really set that team apart, is you had guys who, you know, they knew what it was going to be like playing for Bob Knight, and they were ready for it. And they took the coaching, and it was hard. And I'm sure there were times that they regretted the decision, but they understood, you know, that if you paid attention to the underlying message and maybe not the way that it was being delivered, you could get a lot out of it. And so, you know, that appreciation that he has for that experience really came through. You know, and I think, you know, it is interesting toward the end, you know, he kind of talks about, you know, maybe not feeling as you know, doesn't have a relationship yet with the new staff. You know, and it sounds like he would kind of like to have that. So, you know, hopefully, you know, to me, you know, guys like Greg Graham who have that, you know, that winning experience, you know, have been coaches, you know, you'd love to see kind of the whole IU family be able to be reunited. I think Archie's done a really good job with a lot of players bringing them back in, you know, and so it'd be nice to see guys like Greg Graham, you know, coming back around and getting everybody kind of back together again. Because, you know, listening to him talk, it's like, man, that is the mentality that we need, you know, with Indiana basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. Jared Morris, Assembly Call, with us on Fridays with IU Basketball. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing, which, again, just opened their fourth location. It's Coffee Crossing Sellersburg, located near Ivy Tech at the I-65 interchange. Jared, have a great weekend. Plenty of off-season stuff to talk about. We'll continue our conversation with you next Friday here on the show.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Jared Morris, Assembly Call. We'll head to a commercial break. And before we go to break, I do want to mention something I did not do in the first segment. Sean East of New Albany, a lot of people always asking, tweeting, wanting to know what the latest is with him. According to his family, still open to any Division I interest. He is back from the prep school scene for the past season. He's back in the area now. And working out and that sort of thing, getting ready to take some visits. But he's heard from Mercer, which is a Division I program in Georgia that is now being coached by Greg Gary, who's an Indiana native, a former Purdue assistant. Coach Gary really likes, according to his family, Sean, and would like to make him his first or one of his first recruits as he takes over the Mercer program. Also, SEMO, Southeast Missouri, who actually offered Sean coming out of high school, I believe it was his lone Division I offer at that time before he chose to go the prep school route, they are in the picture as well. Also, UMass, down to see Sean and want to meet with him further and maybe have him up to the campus. So they are a possibility for Sean as well. The Atlantic 10 program, a great program really over the years. It has a solid history in college basketball. So those are three of the programs, at least most serious, it seems, with Sean right now, and it sounds like in the next 3-4 weeks, a decision on where he will play his college basketball could be forthcoming. I know a lot of people, including myself, really enjoyed watching him play alongside Romeo on that New Albany team a few seasons ago. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk some recruiting stuff related to IU, other basketball stuff as well coming up right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back to wrap up this Friday program with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, and we'll talk some high school hoops, a little recruiting in this segment. And I want to start, Kyle, with the Indiana All-Star team has been announced. Obviously, two Indiana guys in Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin that will play for the Hoosiers next season. They kind of lead the way on that roster. Locally, Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central's on the team. Kind of went through the roster earlier in the week, but I think looking at things, this should be a really good Indiana team, not just with a lot of talent, but with some experience playing together. And when you look at things from a team approach, because that's what's different, and that's what I love about the Indiana-Kentucky game, you get the excitement, you get some of the big dunks and the great scoring performances, but you get some defense as well because there are practices, there is some offense put in, there is some pride, which is something missing from a lot of All-Star games, but there is some pride in the Indiana-Kentucky series. So on paper at least, putting it together in your mind, I like this Indiana All-Star team and am excited to see two IU guys and a local Southern Indiana guy in Kobe Barnes from our immediate area get the chance to square off with Kentucky here in the offseason.
Yeah, Matt, this is one of the years where you feel like the team really kind of fits together well from a roster standpoint. You've got good guard play. You've got size. Like you said, you have guys who play together and know each other pretty well. You've got scoring at the guard spots and good defense, I think, too, at the guard spots. So, you know, like you said, it's not just roll it out there and play. It's you get a few practices in, you get to put some stuff in. I mean, not to the extent of a high school team, obviously, but
you probably don't need to with a group like this. But yeah, I think it's it should be a lot of fun to see this team play together throughout the week, and then once they play Kentucky, and I don't see a whole lot of holes. When you look at this team, some years you're really, even some of the best teams are just guard heavy, or maybe you're missing a guard, or you just don't have something there. But this team seems to have a little bit of everything, and kind of the nature of basketball now, those bigger guys are able to step out and shoot and play facing the basket more than ever before. So you have a little bit of that too with this team, but. I agree. I think it's no huge surprises, I don't think. I mean, I know there's always some years where, guys are left off the team and it's just kind of the nature of it. But, when I looked at that team, there was nobody on there. I was like, wow, how'd he make it? Or, something like that, where sometimes you have some of that. But I think it seemed like it's a really good class anyway. But I think it really kind of came together pretty well for Mike Broughton in his first year.
Talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, kind of building on some of the members of the All-Star roster and, of course, the two IU guys and Kobe here locally. You put out a player ranking of the top 20 college basketball players, I guess I should say high school seniors, that are going to play college basketball. And, again, we've talked a lot over the year about Trace Jackson Davis, your thoughts on him and his ability to contribute at Indiana, maybe even right away, and also Armon Franklin and the great season that he had as well. But you had Trace first in your rankings, which I don't think is a big surprise. Him and Keon Brooks, I'm sure, probably close in that 1-2 ranking you had him. And then Armon Franklin was fourth overall in what's been a really solid senior class. So you're obviously high on both of those guys.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and I kind of had gone back and forth, like a lot of people had on Trace Jackson Davis or Keon Brooks at number one. And then I think Brandon Newman and Armon Franklin at three and four. I think Brandon's maybe a little bit more accomplished as a scorer, even though Franklin averaged 23 a game. Watching those two in AAU, I just put Brandon just ahead, a little bit ahead of him. But definitely think those two are comparable type players. So, I do think highly. I think Armon, talking about him, he's got a lot of intangible qualities. I think he's got a lot of good leadership qualities, which I think bodes well when you're thinking about, guys playing at the next level. Kind of like Isaiah Thompson, too, at Zionsville. You feel like he's a guy who can understand how to play. He's been around the Purdue program forever. So when you think about guys playing at the next level and how they fit in, a lot of it is that, just understanding, your role, and kind of knowing ahead of time kind of what's expected of you and having the maturity level where you're going to get better. I see Armon as that type of player. He's not the super, super athlete that you see some of the guys in the top 25 or 30 in the national rankings, but he is definitely athletic enough. He's got a lot of athletic ability. He showed this year he can really step out and shoot it. He can get on really hot streaks from three, in addition to his ability to get to the basket, which, is a good quality of his as well. But just a solid all-around player, a strong physical guard who's only going to get stronger once he gets to that IU weight room for sure. So, I really like him as a covering him the last few years and kind of seeing his progression to where he is now.
Talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle's with us on Fridays. Lots of basketball, recruiting, high school stuff when Kyle joins us on the program. From an IU perspective now, with scholarships they have open, obviously the graduate transfer market is red hot right now. There are some still available prospects, none really from the state of Indiana available that Indiana's been real serious with. But there is a player that's kind of maybe beginning to get on the Hoosiers recruiting radar, and you actually mentioned this player last week when we talked very briefly, but he's a wing type forward from Indianapolis, Ben Davis. His name is Jalen Windham, and I think you kind of gave us the scoop last week, but he was initially committed to play at Georgia State. The coach leaves for another program. He's able to reopen his recruitment. He's got a lot of mid-majors, and I'll let you speak on this in more detail soon, that that are interested in him. But Indiana, according to something you tweeted out earlier this week, Indiana's going to watch him here coming up soon.
Yeah, they've kind of been in contact with him at least, and he mentioned that last week when we were at the top 60, and I was able to talk to him there, that they had, you know, sort of reached out to inquire about it, you know, just to make contact with him. And, you know, probably have some other guys that they're looking at, you know, along with him. And you know, they're planning to come see him April 22nd, which actually he's actually going to leave now that later that day to go to Creighton on an official visit. So, you know, he's got some, you know, he's kind of between high major and mid major. Illinois State was in, actually, I think they're in today for an in-home visit. And, you know, he's got some other schools, some like I said, some high-end mid-major programs. He was originally committed to Ron Hunter at Georgia State, and Hunter took the Tulane job, and so obviously Tulane is part of this process too with Ron Hunter there. But you know, really good shooter, kind of helped carry that Ben Davis team during their tournament run, played really, really well. I think he shot about 38% from three on the season, so that's normally a number that translates pretty well to the next level. But, you know, he's certainly a guy who will, you know, can score. You know, that's kind of his main quality, is he can score at the wing position. And, you know, he's been a winner. You know, he's a starter on that state championship team 2 years ago as a sophomore, actually led the team in scoring that afternoon that night when they played for the state championship, you know, and beat Fort Wayne Northside. So, you know, he's definitely on IU's radar. I don't know if he's at the top of their list, I would think, for guys in that class. But he's definitely a guy that they've been making contact with and want to see in a workout here coming up soon.
Kyle Nunrip, Indianapolis Star, with this All-Star game this weekend. My goodness, there are a lot of All-Star games nowadays. This one is kind of unique, or definitely unique, because it's at the Hoosiers gym in Knightstown, which is an awesome, awesome place. It's obviously where a great portion of the Hoosiers movie was filmed. It's put on by Kip Westner and Hoosier Basketball Magazine and a host of other people, but it's a girls-boys doubleheader. A lot of the players that we're talking about participating in that game, and also Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, another opportunity for him to be in action in an All-Star game scenario to conclude his high school career. So a fun event this weekend in Knightstown.
Yeah, they're going to get started at noon at the girls game, and several, like you said, several Indian All-Stars for both the boys and girls will take part in this game. And I think they're doing a three-point contest, slam dunk contest in the middle of that, and then probably the boys will start around 3 out there in Knightstown. So that's always a fun event. I don't go every year, but try to get out there as much as I can and see that one. It's one of the unique places in Indiana high school basketball to watch a game. And, you know, it's always a fun event. I know the kids really enjoy it, you know, after playing in it. And it's unique. It's a small court. You know, I hope DeJuan Jones doesn't tear the rims off the backboards there in Knightstown. But, you know, I think it'll be a fun event. Of course, Gary Donna, you know, got that started several years ago. I think this is maybe the 14th year they've done it now, which is amazing that it's been that long. But it's become kind of a neat annual event. It actually moved from, it used to be in June, and they moved it this year to April, to hopefully get a little bit better attendance for that. But they always have good crowds, and it seems like kids really enjoy doing it, like I said. So it should be another fun afternoon out there at Knightstown.
Kyle Nunrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest. I'll end our interview with this. I've talked a lot about Kyle Guy this week and his Virginia team winning the national championship. Of course, Kyle, a former Indiana Mr. Basketball, but you said something right after Virginia won it that you remember interviewing him or talking to him when he committed to Virginia and kind of thinking, that's a surprising destination. What, you know, what's up with that? And obviously, as you look back on that moment, that interview and his college decision, it sure played out in his favor there.
Yeah, I still remember kind of when I was in my car talking to him and stopped to interview him, you know, after he committed. And like in the back of my mind, I was just, you know, why, you know, Virginia, you know, obviously great program and whatever. I mean, it's not like it was you know, totally off the radar, but still, you know, I always thought Kyle Guy would be somebody who would stay close to home, and obviously there were things that happened with his recruitment that led him to look elsewhere. And, you know, but still at the time I thought, okay, well, he was on a visit. You know, he committed on basically when he got back from the visit. And it was before his junior season, so, you know, I was kind of in the back of my mind thinking, well, he'll in my mind, I'm thinking, probably reconsider at some point and, you know, end up closer to here. He never really wavered on that, though, and always seemed really loyal to Tony Bennett and that program. And I think what Tony Bennett does recruiting-wise there, he finds guys who really fit. And you look at that team, and it's not like they're full of superstar, you know, five-star kids. It's just a team that really fits what he likes to do. And Kyle certainly fit what he wanted to do there. And, you know, you look back at that and think how things could have been differently. But, you know, he must have found something with Virginia and vice versa that he really liked at the time. And certainly now, looking back, what a great decision, you know, it turned out to be. And what a great story, you know, to lose the 16 seed last year and then do what they did this year. You know, just a really story of resilience and redemption and all those things. It was really fun to watch. And I, you know, talked to his fiance the day of the championship game, and fun to catch up with her and kind of hear behind the scenes what was going on with Kyle. So, you know, really, that's really cool and great for him, and something you'll never forget watching that tournament run that they had.
Talking to Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on to talk some hoops and recruiting with us to wrap up the week of our program here on this Friday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Matt.
Absolutely. Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star. That wraps things up for that segment and for this show and for the week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Thunder over Louisville if you're going to participate in those festivities here locally. Be safe. There is no show on Monday because of a Kentucky Derby Festival golf scramble special that we have on during that time. So I'll be back with you Tuesday right here on the Big X Sports Radio.